Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to everyone here on the East Coast, and good morning to everyone listening and joining us out west. Welcome to Life Coach Chat. I'm your host, Mandy Rosniak of Inner Winning Coaching, and I'm happy to be joined by Barb Hetzel of Ridgetop Coaching and Veronica Taylor of Life Leaders Coaching. Today we'll be discussing leadership and all the work that we do with our clients in this area, because we all do leadership with our clients, so we're very happy to talk about this. And today we'll be specifically talking about leadership and bridging the generational gap. But before we get into that, into our topic, I'd like to let our listeners know, if they'd like to call in with a comment or a question, the number is 646-716-9397. Again, that's 646-716-9397, and we'd love to hear from you with any comments, questions, thoughts on leadership that you guys have. So we're going to take a moment to meet our panel so they can tell you a little bit about themselves, their coaching business, how you can reach them after the show, so that you'll know who you're talking to and some of their experiences. So Barb, if you'd like to get started, introduce yourself a little bit, let us know about you and how people can get in touch with you after the show.
Great. Thanks, Mandy, and it's wonderful to be, you know, part of the conversation this afternoon with both you and Veronica. Like Mandy said, my name is Barb Hetzel. I am the owner and founder of Ridgetop Coaching, and mainly I work with clients who are mid-career folks that have a little bit of experience under their belt in terms of their work life and their careers, and I can help them. I work with them to do anything from, you know, kind of stepping up their game to, you know, thinking about making some kind of a change or a transition in their life or in their career. My company is, like I said, Ridgetop Coaching. It's a life and leadership firm, and I would welcome any kind of conversations I could have with any of the listeners today. You could reach me at my website, which is www.ridgetopcoaching, that's RIDGETOP coaching.com. And you could also reach me by email, which is info@ridgetopcoaching. And Ridgetop Coaching is a place where you can reach new heights every day. So once again, thanks for being on the call, all you listeners, and I look forward to our conversation.
Great information, Barb. And just to let everybody know that we are recording today's show, so if any of the information we're sharing with all of our contact information or any parts of the show you'd like to re-listen to, this is getting recorded, so you will be able to listen to it again. So all that information will be available as well. At the end, we're going to sort of recap so you guys can know how to get in touch with us. And now Veronica, who I'm really happy to let everyone know is joining us from the West Coast. So for her, it is morning time. And she's going to be joining us, letting us know about herself. And so if you'd just like to let us know a little bit about yourself and how you got into the coaching business and how people can reach you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mandy and Barb, for having me on this dynamic conversation today. I'm really excited about the topics. Like you said, my name is Veronica Taylor, and I'm the founder of LLC, Life Leaders Coaching. And I'm a leadership coach, and I empower my clients to look within themselves for their natural and innate leadership skills that will launch them into a prosperous, successful life and career. I've been in the corporate industry for 16 years in global environments as well. And I feel that coaching has been something that I've been wanting to do for many, many years to change the dynamics in corporate America, and also utilize the same skills that we use in corporate America for our overall life.
That's great. And I know when we were talking before the show, we were discussing the topic and everything, and it was a great piece because we come from all different backgrounds. So I think we're going to have a lot of stuff to share with everyone today. Give you a little bit about myself. I'm Mandy Rosniak. My business is Inner Winning Coaching, and I'm a peak performance and life leadership coach. My website is coachmandy.com, and I work with athletes who are looking to maximize their potential by quieting that negative self-talk, because it's that voice inside our heads that we all have, and athletes are also very infamous for that. Also working with them to sort of quiet their fears and doubts that help that basically hold them back from being that best person that they can be, not just a great athlete, but a great person as well. One of the things we do is we focus on boosting their strong sense of self and that belief in their inner greatness, helping them try to release that. And we do that by the work I do with them is we work on personal and leadership development. So there again, that leadership word popping up there. And we work on training their brain so they can up their game and then excel both on and off the field. So, you know, it's one of those kinds of aspects where, you know, leadership is such a great topic today because I believe you have to have self-leadership and belief in yourself, and that's also, again, the work I do with my athletes. So my website, again, is coachmandy.com, and you could reach me via email at mandy@coachmandy.com. So in that, looking forward to getting into our topic. And again, if anybody wants to call in today, reach us, comments, questions. The number is 646-716-9397. So as we get going here today, we're going to be talking about leadership, such a big word that we hear dropped all over the place all the time now. I'm going to give you just a definition that I found off the internet, which was leadership was basically, it said, action of leading a group of people or an organization or the state of being a leader, which I actually thought was a pretty basic, plain, and boring definition because that, to me, doesn't really tell you anything, doesn't really describe anything. And I think before we're going to be talking about today, everyone's going to see that, you know, leadership has many different, you know, forms and people have different ideas on it. You know, so in that, Veronica, give us, you know, your feelings, thoughts. What does leadership mean to you, or how would you define it?
Well, to me, I think leadership is the...
Veronica, you still there? Oh, hold on a second, Veronica. Why don't you start again? Something happened, you kind of cut out. So if you'd get start over again.
Can you hear me?
Yep, can hear you now.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, like I was saying, I believe that leadership is the ability to help and motivate, and most importantly, empower yourself, not just others. And I think that's a great point that you made in regards to the definition you found online, is that it's extremely, extremely vague, and everybody has their own definition of leadership. And it's what's important is that we don't have to confine ourselves in a box of what somebody else's definition of leadership is. We really do have the ability and the capacity to make up our own mind of what that means to us.
Nice. I'm sure that, you know, with the work you do with everyone, that's, you know, a piece you absolutely would work on and look at, for sure. And Barb, how about yourself? The work you do with clients, like how does leadership and you know, what does it mean for you and the work you're doing?
I think that when I think of leadership, and certainly I think of the clients that I have worked with, two words stand out for me. One is inspire, and the other is influence. And I think that most people who are starting to or have identified themselves as leaders, those are the two things that they really want to bring out. They want to bring out that sense of how can I inspire people, and that could be, you know, people that, you know, might be like what in corporate world would be like their direct reports, you know, or just how do I inspire my peers? How do I inspire the other people that I work with? And then the other side of that is how do I influence? You know, how do I bring my leadership skills and my leadership talents to whatever is the task at hand or the project that we're involved in? And how do I begin to show that leadership so that it can influence the outcome of a strategic direction or a plan or a project. So those are the two things, two words that come to mind when I think of leadership, inspire and influence.
Nice. I like that. I might have to steal that or share it. I guess it wouldn't be stealing. I guess it would be just sharing.
That's right.
Sharing knowledge, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, no, that's really great because I know for me when I was thinking about it, you know, again, you know, you go out, you Google everything, you're looking for leadership, what does this mean, what does that mean, and I didn't like anything I was finding, and so I stopped and did the, okay, so what does it really mean to me, or how would I, you know, really define it, and so I try to let everything go as to, you know, all the definitions out there, and for me, what kind of came up was it starts with awareness of yourself. Because if you're not aware of yourself and where you are standing, then you're never going to be able to be a leader or display any kind of leadership. So it's, for me, it's awareness of yourself. How are you showing up in the world? And from there, how are your actions affecting yourself and then others? Because, you know, it does. It sort of starts with that self-leadership and where, you know, where do you start? And so it's about, like, knowing who you are, what you want, where you're going, because it's only from that place that you can then stand, like, stand within yourself, which then allows you to stand tall in front of others. Because I just feel like our best leaders are people who have that belief in who they are. They know their who, they own who they are, and then people will follow them from that place because they come from a place of conviction, integrity, and they just have that strong sense of self. Because, again, I think leadership has to start from inside of you, with your feet firmly planted on the ground, and that's the only place that you can start from. And then from there, you know, it leads you forward. Pardon the pun of saying the word lead you forward. But I do feel that's where it's got to start, because there's no way you can lead anyone else if you're not starting with yourself and leading yourself. So I know that's a, you know, a place of where I came from, you know, come from it. So any thoughts or anything from either of you on anything we've all shared at the moment?
Yeah, I think it's definitely reiterating what you just said. It's walk the talk. You know, if you really have that internal motivation and you are constantly empowering yourself, that obviously exudes the confidence, and people really are attracted to that. They're going to wonder, what is that person has? I want that.
Did we lose her after we won? And I wanted to hear the rest of that. I wanted to hear the rest of what she had to say. Are you still there, Veronica?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you. It cut out on you just after you said, and people, and I'm thinking you might say people want that.
Yes, what I'm saying, it begins with the authenticity piece, and you know, we're throwing out that word quite a lot these days, but what I mean by authenticity is that we have to do the work within ourselves to find out what our personal values are and what's important to us. And once we realize what those values really are and we can own them, you know, we can follow with that, and then people can follow afterwards, because they're going to want to know what it is that you're doing that makes you so motivating and empowering and influential. So definitely look within yourself and try to figure out what makes you who you are, so that you can empower others. Because as a leader, I think that what's really, really important is that you want to enable others to do their best, to be their best, so they too can be leaders. That's what makes a true leader.
Yes, and I think one of the issues, and as we get into the bridging that generational gap piece a little bit more, I think one of the issues that we're facing right now in general is people are looking outside for someone to lead them. And, you know, it's that place of, like, tell me what to do, where to go, how to do this, who to be. You know, and it goes back to, like, what you just said about the authenticity and everything. You know, we're looking outside of ourselves for leadership. We're looking outside of ourselves for someone to lead us, quote-unquote lead us. And yet, if it doesn't start from inside first, there's, you know, nobody's going to be able to lead you. They're going to just sort of, you're going to be, you know, you go down a road, and then you're going to get there and you're going to say, well, this doesn't work, and, you know, and things like that. But I think right now as a whole, we're looking for leadership, because let's not even get into, I guess, down in Washington about lack of leadership right now. But it's because, you know, everybody's out there, you know, they're out there reaching outside to look for that something to sort of help them, in my opinion, feel grounded, which is why they're, seems to be this feeling that we're lacking in leadership right now, but I think the lacking in leadership is because it's not starting from inside ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I could just tag on to that conversation thread that Veronica started and Mandy, you kind of expounded upon too. I think there's a whole new dimension to authenticity that is not often talked about when it comes to leaders and leadership. And with authenticity, kind of comes vulnerability. Like if you're really saying this is who I am, and you bring your full self to what it is that you're about and what it is you're leading and who it is you're leading, that there has to be a sense of vulnerability about that in my mind, because, you know, really, leaders, they don't have all the answers. None of us have all the answers. And there's got to be a piece of that goes along with that authenticity, that sense of vulnerability to say, hey, you know, it's okay that I don't have all the answers, but maybe together we can, you know, we can pool our wisdom or the energy of the people gathered and together come up with a better answer or a better way to do something. And I think a lot of times leaders, you know, if leadership is like imposed upon them, like all of a sudden somebody gets a promotion and, you know, oh my God, they have now they're the leader. And if they're not really feeling comfortable within themselves, they're not going to be very vulnerable. They're going to feel like, oh my God, I have to have all the answers and what do I do here? And they're never going to show who they really are because there's a piece of them that's kind of afraid. So I think when we get to a sense of authentic leadership, then I also think we're talking about somebody who's willing to be vulnerable within that leadership.
Absolutely love that. Lately, like the past several weeks, authenticity and vulnerability, those two words have shown up every time I turn around. So I just love the fact that you went down that authenticity road, and Barb, you brought up the vulnerability, because I think, and I think those points, both of them are fantastic, because it's so true. And Barb, with the piece you just said about when someone gets a promotion and all of a sudden they are now quote unquote a leader, just having that tag on your, you know, that title in front of you doesn't mean, you know, all of a sudden mean you know how to lead or that you then are a leader that someone's going to follow, because it's just sort of a title. And like you said, you know, that all of a sudden doesn't mean you're going to know what or how to do just because you've had that title attached to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that actually would be a good – go ahead, Veronica.
Sorry, I just wanted to say that Bar bringing up the vulnerability brings me back to a story. One of the greatest bosses I've ever had was that was the first thing she taught me was the vulnerability piece. And she was the one to lead with it, because I remember while I was sitting with her talking about my job description and what I was good at and what she came out and said, you know, these are my weaknesses. And I love that my weaknesses are your strengths. So how and we're all on the same page. And that really changed my perspective, and I gained a lot of respect for her, because no longer did I see her as a manager. I truly did see her as a leader, but more of a mentor. And she literally changed my life in general at a professional level when she did that. So I think that's extremely powerful when you can be vulnerable with your colleagues and your superiors.
No, absolutely. I think actually that's a good segue towards that whole piece we were talking about in bridging that generational gap, because we all do work with people in some different, you know, in some different age groups and some different types of work. You know, so in that, sort of forward this conversation on, and Barb, I'll start with you. You know, so with the work you do with clients, how does leadership and bridging that generational gap show up? Like, what does it mean? And what, you know, what have you seen with people you're working with where that leadership and the cross and the generations of things and what types of things you're seeing?
Yeah, thank you. I think, first of all, I think this is it's a great question, and it's a great topic to talk about the difference in generations. One of the things that I notice in talking with some of my clients is their concern about bringing a younger worker, somebody younger than them, up through the ranks of an organization or a company, and how do they want to go about doing that, recognizing that there's a really different way that they look at work as opposed to maybe how this kind of like up and coming employee looks at work, and how do they help each other? How do they blend with each other? How do you motivate or how do you bring out the motivation within the individual? Because really that's where motivation resides. It resides in the individual, not outside of them. And how does that work in a corporate environment or a company environment and a particular culture that might exist in that place? So I think that's one of the first things I think when I think about generational and helping to bridge that gap is having being open to the conversation of learning how each perspective or each generation in this sense looks at work, looks at leadership, looks at what's it like to be an individual in an organization or in a company, and how do they see their part in forwarding whatever the mission of that particular organization is.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think what's really interesting now in the work world that we live in versus, say, maybe some of what our parents, experienced, or even just some people who are still in the workforce. But, you'd start with a company, work your way up through the ranks, and then eventually you're the manager, you're the leaders and things like that. And you would stay there, work, and then retire. You never even thought of having an older worker being managed by someone younger. But I think now there's so much movement within the workforce where people aren't staying in companies, for longer periods of time. And there's a lot more shifting taking place where I'm sure, as you're speaking, there's a lot more of that showing up, which would absolutely start to crisscross the generations, because now you're having older workers who are transitioning in careers, or they're changing careers because of, the downturn in our economy that we just had, where people were having to, getting laid off after 25, 30 years and having to completely change careers. So now they were starting out low man on the totem pole. So, that definitely is, I think, something that we're seeing now that we, weren't even experiencing just 5, 10 years ago. And I know, Veronica, the work you do, you actually do work with sort of that quote-unquote younger clientele. So, share some of your thoughts about that same piece.
Yeah, absolutely. I think through my practice, my observation has been that, in general, what I like to tell my clients is that we really have to become self-aware. And I know I mentioned this earlier, and it's all about our personal values and becoming aware of what those are so that we can, empower ourselves and see and utilize those in our overall life with conviction, and have compassion for the things that we're not so good at. And with the compassion also comes trying to understand the person that you're trying to work with or you're having challenges with, and being vulnerable enough to tell them, hey, this is what I'm not good at and this is what I am good at. But more importantly, try to be curious and find out what that person's values are. Because once you realize what your values and their values are, that's how you start building relationships, right? When you have something that you can build a true connection with. And it doesn't matter what the generation is or what the topic or the issue is. If you can really marry your values with someone else, the generational gap is going to go away. That's just how it is. And that has been my personal experience. I just recently had a client where she came to me because she was having issues with her parents. And the issue was that her parents had an issue with her for being at a job for no more than 18 months to 2 years. And they kept telling her, you really need to find a job and just stay there. And, that's what you're supposed to do. And she just doesn't understand that concept. And she's an Xer. Her parents are boomers. So obviously there's a huge generational gap there. And what I told her was that you need to understand what your values are and how different our corporate world is today in comparison to your parents. and also value the fact that their generation did things completely different. So it's about awareness and self-respect and respect of other generations and just have a mutual compromise. And once she realized that her parents' values were completely different from hers, she let go of that anxiety and anger that she had with her parents, and she just began to understand them better as well as understand herself and her values better.
Now, that's a great point. And I think, you know, one of the other pieces, too, that you see a lot is, you know, you see the, you know, and I hate to keep using the phrase older worker because I probably fall into that category now. So, maybe I got to try to find new language for that. But there was just sort of a seeming to be that sense of motivation, that inner drive, that place where you don't need someone to tell you necessarily what to do. You just figure out how to go get it done. And I know one of the pieces that I've seen in some of the work with athletes is kids today, when they're, you know, everybody starts out at 3 years old now in organized sports, you know, and they start with the, you know, with the soccer and all the different sports. But from like 3 years old on, they have somebody telling them where to go, how to do this. You know, everything is so structured from the moment they walk, you know, walk on a field. And I know what I've seen in the development phase is that a lot of them then don't know how to, they don't know what to do without someone telling them what to do. So developing that sense of, again, that sense of inner leadership kind of seems to be lacking a little bit. Not, you know, again, not that they're not driven to work hard. They will work hard if you tell them what to do. And there seems to be that sense of they don't learn problem-solving skills the same, and they don't learn how to communicate the same because they've had someone telling them all along, do this, go here, do that. They don't understand free play. They lose that sense of creativity. So then as you start to get, you know, they start to get, you know, high school, college, and a little bit beyond, their leadership ability is maybe not as strong as someone who is a, quote-unquote, older worker is seeing because they'll do the work. They just sort of need someone to help push them towards where to go and what to do. And that's one of the things that I've seen sort of in that generational gap is it's not that they're not willing to work hard. They just don't have that same sense of initiative because their whole lives someone's been telling them what to do. And I know that's one of the, you know, some of the work that I do with them is trying to get them to sort of make a decision, be okay with this decision you're going to make. I always tell them when I'm working with them on the field is if you go at it and you go hard and you give it everything you have and it doesn't work out, then that's okay because you gave it everything you did. But just make a decision with conviction. But they're so afraid of making mistakes that it holds them back. And I think that's, you know, what I've seen a lot of where there's that generational gap of they're looking for someone to tell them where to go, what to do. The other piece is the communication. Having a conversation now is, you know, because they've grown up and they're learning about, you know, everything is through text message, IM. I can't even keep up with what the new trend is because I coach a high school softball team, and I was talking to them one day about something, and they said, "Oh, coach, that's like 6 months ago. We've already moved on to something else, and I don't even know what it is. Snapchat or something like that is the new big thing." And I think that there's a shift there as well. So when you get out to the workforce, and you know, and you get out there, there's a different way of communication as well that is taking mm-hmm. place, which then obviously ultimately is going to affect leadership.
Absolutely.
Yeah, can I jump in here? Because my mind is spinning because there's so many great nuggets that you just mentioned in that in your thoughts there, Mandy. A couple of things. I have some experience in higher education. You know, as administration in higher education, and one of the biggest conversations in that industry is talking about how to help. Like traditional age college students, you know, the 18 to 22 year olds, how can colleges and universities help them to fine-tune and hone and develop their critical thinking skills. And I think that's kind of what what you're talking about in terms of, you know, they've grown up, you know, at least in athletic programs, but I would dare to say in the school system itself, you know, from a young age, you know, do this, you know, don't do that. And so they're already trained for many, many years that there's a right answer and a wrong answer, a right way to do something and a wrong way to do something. And what critical thinking does is it helps people to understand that there's nuances to choices, that it's not necessarily completely wrong or completely right, but there's something that's, you know, generally right or generally not helpful, you know, depending on what path someone might choose to go down. And I think we're coaching as where the benefit of coaching, whether it's athletic coaching or whether it's leadership coaching, but the benefit of coaching is that we can engage a person to start to think about how they think critically about their choices. And that ultimately, when we're talking about leadership, when we're talking about generation, it's really about acceptance. That it's okay that I choose this path as long as I know who I am as I'm in this path. And that as a and the leaders that we might encounter understand that there's a place, there's going to be a benefit for testing and trying out that choice. And whether you have a leader in your company or organization that's older than you or younger than you, that general acceptance of thinking critically, making a choice, making a decision, going down a certain road, you know, trying a certain, you know, technique or trying a certain application to something, is ultimately whether it works or doesn't work, just the process itself is going to have some benefit moving forward for the individual, and then also for the company or organization that they work for. And I think coaching, as all three of us are engaged in with our clients, can help a leader to develop that sense of accepting, no matter what the age is, of the person or persons that they're leading, and that ultimately is going to be a powerful lesson and learning and better outcome at the end because bothered to go through the process. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
That was fantastic. I think we should all just we should end the call right there and you know and move on with our days and go get out there in the world.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great point, Barb. Because I think people really need to understand that regardless of what generation we're in or from, there's good and bad in every single one of them, and that's the reason why other generations are trying new things. And it is all about that critical thinking and understanding that we have the ability to make a choice and not putting ourselves in a box of what we think we should be doing under someone else's expectation. And if we really look within ourselves, and at the end of the day, we are being authentic and we really feel true to what we want to do, and we follow with good intention, you know, things just fall into place. And just like you said, not every decision that we make as leaders, whether it's in a personal arena or in a professional, is going to work out exactly the way that we want it. But the lesson learned, just like you said, is the process itself, because that is really where we learn, not just learn from ourselves, but we empower other people to see the beauty and the power that we have through our failure. Sometimes our greatest successes are when we fail. And I think that's one of the things that we need to communicate in all generations, because I think that comes up no matter if you are a millennial in a millennial generation or if you're a baby boomer, that it is okay to fail and that the process is the most.
Yeah, you both bring up such great points. Barb, one of the pieces, and Veronica, you touched on this too, but the piece, Barb, where you said about the critical thinking we're teaching our kids, unfortunately, that there's a right answer and a wrong answer. Because one of the things that I know I work with and talk about, and actually had a great lesson personally just the other day was, you know, are you playing to lose or are you playing to win? Because when you play to lose, you're playing to lose. And this isn't just, again, I do work with athletes, but the work I do is it's off the field stuff. It's work in that personal development to develop the, I always say it's, I'm coaching the player, not the person, I'm coaching the person, not the player. But it's that playing to win mentality, which hits upon, that critical thinking, and also, Veronica, like what you were just saying about learning to live with failure. Because when you play to lose in your life, when you're out there and you're being, tepid about the things you're doing, and you're so worried about making a mistake, it's absolutely when we make mistakes. And you're not going to lead yourself very well when you're out there being cautious all the time. But if you're out there, and you're just going for it with everything you do, if you just give whatever it is you're trying to do everything you have, you're not always going to succeed or win or, come out on the side that you're hoping for. Yet what will happen is you will learn because you gave it everything you had, and that's the only place you can evaluate what worked and what didn't work. Right. And I think it's a very, if we could learn more about living in the gray area of life, becoming comfortable with being uncomfortable, and the fact that there is no certainty in life and all those kinds of concepts, I think all help you develop a good sense of leadership, because you then come from more, a more of a grounded place, because you get, a good leader isn't going to be perfect, but they stand in their imperfections, and they stand behind what it is that they're doing, because again, they have that good sense of self, and I do think it's important that that we come from a place, we have to learn from our failures, and we have to fail at times, because it's the only way for us to know, what we need to do differently. Another piece here that I have, listened to a coach call the other day, and it was a really, really great call. Karen Sullivan was the person leading the call, and she's a great IPAC trainer, coach herself, and she was talking about, in regards to, she was discussing some leadership ideas as well, and she was talking about the five areas of our lives that you need to manage in order to sort of, be a good leader, again, and be a good self-leader. And those five areas were the physical, as in the physical body, the mental, your social, your spiritual, and your work life. And I think that's another area that, you've got to be able to manage all five of those areas within your life to be able to, be firmly grounded and balanced. And I think that speaks to, our ability to be leaders as well, because it goes, again, back to you've got to lead yourself. You've got to be able to take care of all those areas before you're ever going to be able to do it, anything else. So, I throw that out to you guys. I know I'm kind of springing that on you, but, your thoughts on anything regards to that about looking at those areas within our lives and maybe areas that are lacking or that you're seeing that people aren't maybe taking care of. They're taking care of one or two areas, but maybe some of the areas that they're not focusing enough on, which is creating that imbalance, which is then, of course, leading them to not have a good sense of leadership.
Mandy, could you repeat those five? I'm sorry, I didn't catch the five.
That's okay. It's the physical body, the mental, the social, spiritual, and our work life.
Ah, got it.
And, and the fact that we have to be able to manage those areas, and that usually when something gets off, there's one or two or multiples of those places that we have lost connection to, and that, we are no longer taking care of. Which, again, I think is obviously connected to leadership, because leadership is such a, as we've been discussing, it can be such a vague word, and you've got to take care of all those different areas. And again, if you're not taking care of that, then goes back to the authenticity of you guys have talked about, the vulnerability, If those areas, if you're not taking care of yourself, how can you then lead anyone else?
Yeah, I think those are great points, Mandy. I think one of the things that I think about is, you know, whether these are stereotypical descriptions of the different generations or not, but I think they're part of the cultural mindset about the different ages of people. I think a lot of times what you'll see is you'll see older workers, you know, boomers, if you will, you know, people that are in their, you know, late 50s, early 60s, haven't retired yet, but are still working, definitely have this, and I've seen it quite a bit, you know, well, I have to work. I have to, you know, if I have to put in, you know, 80 hours a week, I have to put in 80 hours a week because that's what it's going to take. And they let all of those, they let some other aspects of their balance and their life, they put them on, almost on the sidelines, that if they're not quite as prevalent, you know, so they may not be taking care of their health, or they may not be taking care of their own, you know, going out with friends, you know, whatever those other components that you mentioned. And then I think then, you know, the younger generations, you know, maybe the middle millennials or the X and Y generations, you know, they seem to be much better at keeping a balance. You know, that work is important, no doubt about it, but it's not the most important thing, which is kind of what you see with boomers. You know, it's all part of the mix. And I think that boomers, the boomer generation, of which I'm part of, you know, can learn a great deal from younger workers because they really are able to keep it in perspective. Work is important, absolutely, but it's not the be-all and the end-all of someone's existence. And if we lose sight of that as leaders, if we lose sight of the fact that people need to stay in balance in order to be productive in their work life or in their personal life, because productivity ends up in both places, then it's not, you know, you're going to be across purposes. You know, you're going to be working a lot, but you're not really going to be productive. You're not going to be effective in what you're trying to do. And likewise, you know, taking the balance, you know, the completely opposite direction, you know, if all you do is, you know, party all day long, you know, take care of your social life, but don't worry about anything else, there's consequences for that too, you know, in people's lives. But I think that, you know, older workers can really kind of, you know, could benefit from taking a page from the playbook of younger generations that are working and helping them to understand that there is, you know, you can have balance and you can have a really productive and profitable work life.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what Barb just said. Me being in the Generation X, I think what people in my generation, they're not married to their organizations or a particular job. I think that what they're really motivated by is their career and how it motivates them. And it's true that our jobs don't rule our lives. We really, really try to have a balance between our personal and our professional life. And I know that's extremely important to me. Autonomy has been something that is number one on my core values. And that is the difference between, you know, Generation X and Millennial and the Boomers is that that's where the disconnect is. And mentioning again with my client, I think that was the biggest communication gap between the two of them because, you know, my client, not only did she have a great job, yeah, she moves from one organization to the next, but her career has stayed the same. And more importantly, she also has the ability to be able to go out and have a great time. So it's more balanced in comparison to other generations or older generations.
Yes, it's kind of like that mindset of a lot of people. They live to work. You know, that's why they're here, is to work. Where now I feel like it's more we work to live. Like work is something we do in order for us though to live a more purposeful and sense of life that allows us to do other things. Where, you know, I know with, you know, just with my parents, my mom's 75 years old and she's still working full time because she loves what she does. And what happened for her was she finally started to wake up. It started to feel like work for her. You know, and yet I've watched my parents work all their lives to a place of where it almost did seem like a sense. For my dad, it was definitely a sense of, you know, he woke up every day and he got to work. That's what he did. That's who he was. And it seems as if now there's more of that sense of we work in order to be able to live. You know, that's where you can create and have that balance, where our work lives no longer to, you know, define us. I know I personally went through that about 4 years ago now, when I was transitioning to careers. I was coaching college softball, and I was, you know, looking to make a change, and which is when I then found, you know, the life coaching piece. But when I was in that transition space, going from one place to the other, the 3 or 4 months where I didn't know where I was headed, the thing I found was very interesting was the question that was asked of me. So, you know, you meet somebody, you're introduced, and the first words out of their mouth are, "What do you do?" And I really found that to be an interesting question, because it was that first time when I didn't have an answer because I wasn't working at the time. And I was no longer, that used to be an easy question. You know, I coach, you know, here at this college, and I could answer that question. And now I found myself doing that, "Well, what do you do?" Well, you know, it was, you kind of like, "Well, I don't do anything right now." You know, you didn't really want to give that answer. But I started to discover that sense of, I didn't know who I was, because I was defined by what I did. And I think that, the younger generation now, that is a place of, one thing that they actually do have a benefit of is there is maybe a little bit more sense that they're trying to figure out who they are and what they want and where they're going, by instead of having what they do for work define who they are. Because that's where I got a really, really good life lesson from a standpoint of, what you do, the work you do, does not define who you are, which, again, in tying that all back to leadership from a standpoint of, you know, now I found myself lost and not being able to lead myself, or actually I could almost actually really say I found myself for the first time learning how to lead myself strictly from a place of it was about who I was more than what I did. Mm-hmm.
And doesn't that bring us back full circle to the conversation we started with about one of the hallmarks of leaders is the authenticity, about knowing who they are, and Veronica started off, you know, talking about that, introducing that to us and to our listeners today, that whole sense of being, knowing who you are, is so instrumental and integral to who you're going to be as a leader, that it just makes perfect sense to pay attention to that first. As opposed to, you know, how good of a communicator you are, or how good you are at facilitating a meeting, or any of those other things that are kind of identified, you know, as, you know, leadership skills. But really the biggest skill is knowing who you are and that authenticity piece.
Absolutely. And I think if we all led with being who we are and moving forward with that intention, it really does take care of all those five areas that you mentioned, Mandy: the physical, the mental, the social, the spiritual, and the work life. It all comes together. If your intention is to do what's not just right for you, but have the compassion that you're doing it for the right reasons, and again, things will fall into place eventually.
Yes, absolutely. Because it's funny. One of you just said something, and it sparked an interest. But see, my older worker mind has already lost the thought. So, it's interesting because we've been talking about leadership, and as we know from when we started with that definition, I was able to find it was such a vague piece. And yet with everything we've been talking about today, you know, I think we'd all be in agreement that, you know, leadership and personal, you know, personal leadership is where it all has to start. That you can only be a leader. You can only be someone who is seen as a place of, you know, coming from a place of leadership if it doesn't start, you know, it has to start with you, because if you don't have that sense and that firm place, you know, you're not grounded, then how can you lead? Because that's, I think, again, people, you know, people are going to follow you if they have that sense of that you know where you're going. Because if you know where you're going, then I'm going to follow you because I have no idea where the heck I'm going. Which I think right now is sort of, you know, what we, you know, I feel like if you talk to a lot of people, there'd be a lot of people in our country right now that would say, you know, we don't have very good leadership. And I sort of feel there's a little bit of that because we've gotten too far outside of ourselves, relying on external, you know, external gratification for things. And it's more, which I think is why we probably have a feeling of a lack of true leadership out there, because as I just said, if you don't know where you are and where you're going, then how can you lead anyone else? Because, you know, they want to follow somebody who they have confidence and feel compelled to follow because, well, that person, you know, really seems to have it all together. And I think it only, again, it starts from, you know, your feet firmly planted on the ground and taking care of your whole self and not just, you know, little bits and pieces.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, I agree.
You know, it's, I mean, we could get into, you know, again, I brought it up a little earlier about, you know, Washington and our political leaders. And, you know, we've talked again about, you know, the differences between having to be perfect and things like that. And there seems to me this sense, and, you know, we don't have too much time left, so this might be opening a, you know, big can of worms here. But, you know, one of the things we get surprised now, it seems as if, because, you know, when people are political leaders, you know, and they're off in Washington, there's this mystique that they're these perfect people. And we almost get surprised now when we learn, you know, about someone's indiscretion or something that, you know, they've done. And yet we put so much value in their quote-unquote leadership. And again, I sort of firmly believe it's because we're so lacking it within ourselves that we're reaching again and we're looking outside. You know, we're putting so much faith and so much value into these, you know, people that we send to Washington, and then we're surprised when, you know, all of a sudden they're not perfect. But I don't think, you know, anyone out there is perfect, but for some reason we've given all this power and all this levels of integrity to these people who, you know, we're calling our leaders, and yet, you know, they're just human beings like the rest of us. And I think that is sort of what has hurt us a little bit, because we then get surprised that, well, how could they do this? Leaders don't do that. Well, and I think we've got to lose the fact that leaders are people too, and it goes to what you guys have already brought up and talked about. It's about, you also have to understand and look at the imperfections that we have within ourselves. And when you acknowledge those and you're vulnerable and you live from that place, you're going to know and understand that people have imperfections. And you'd probably be considered a better leader if you were allow those imperfections to shine through, instead of what we do with our political leaders and put them on these pedestals and then get surprised.
Mandy, I think you're right. I think that there's something about, but there is something about our political process of how, you know, we elect our leaders, and when we elect them, we put a lot of power into them, and you use that word power, and I think that that's really significant. Is when we put a lot of power into someone to lead us, it's almost as if it's the exact opposite of what we're talking about today in terms of that authenticity, you know, that the system itself, our political system itself, and how we come about electing our leaders, it's counterintuitive to being authentic. And so when somebody is, you know, shows their authenticity or shows their vulnerability through, you know, what we're identifying as indiscretions, it's so, like, not part of the structure that we think is or should be there, that it seems huge. You know, the indiscretion just seems absolutely huge. But yet the structure is set up in such a way that it's, you know, these our elected officials become really, like, you know, like really unbelievably powerful people. and then are using that power because we've told them they haven't because we've elected them, you know. So it's kind of like almost like it's leadership at cross purposes, you know. We're electing these people and giving them a lot of power, and at the same time we're asking them to be authentic and vulnerable. And when that happens, there's a huge disconnect. I'm sure everybody's heard the saying, absolute power corrupts absolutely. You know, and that's, and in some ways, that's what our political system, our structure is like. We give people that we elect into these offices absolute power. You know, we say, okay, they're our representatives, but they're not our representatives. You know, they're not always representing me. They're not always representing what I think or how I would go about doing something. But, you know, we've given them this power to do that. And I think that's part of where the disconnect happens, because the structure is not supporting what we really hope could happen from them as authentic leaders.
Yeah, I think the structure is definitely the failure inevitably. And I think we do it socially in all aspects of our lives in general. I mean, we see music artists, movie stars, you know, we watch the star rise just to see it fall later. And I think really what the lesson, and hopefully our listeners who are listening, what they take away from this conversation is stop reaching outside of yourself. Start looking within yourself and find what drives you, what motivates you, because if you really don't, any road will take you there. And how many times have we heard that and have watched it happen? So quit having someone else dictate and direct where you're going. Start looking within yourself. And it's an amazing conversation and journey to follow for yourself. If there's one thing you could possibly do in this lifetime, I think that's the greatest gift that we can give ourselves.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we've brought up so many great points. You know, and it's interesting because our topic was leadership and bridging the generational gap, and we've talked a lot about that, and yet it does seem like the common theme kind of started or stands with needing to be, you know, authentic, vulnerable, and it starts with yourself. So leadership, you know, starting with ourselves, and, you know, and that seemed to sort of be the theme that kind of came up for us today, without a doubt. You know, as always, when we do these, it's amazing how the time just flies and goes. Because I feel like we could just keep on going here, because we were on a really good roll. So we are starting to run out of time here today. So what I'll do is just give you guys a last quick minute, if you want to just a last little piece on maybe your last thoughts on leadership and how everyone can reach you again. And, you know, and your, like I said, your thoughts and how people can reach you after the show. And Barb, we'll start with you.
Sure. I guess my last little tidbit of wisdom, if you will, for the call today is, no matter where you find yourself in life, no matter what relationships you're in, everybody has the ability and I think responsibility to be a leader. As long as there's respect and honesty, you can't go wrong with whatever you're involved in. Once again, I'm Barb Hetzel from Ridgetop Coaching. You can reach me through my website at www.ridgetopcoaching, RIDGETOP coaching.com, and also through email at info@ridgetopcoaching. And thank you for the opportunity to be part of the conversation today.
Well, great. Thank you for being with us. And Veronica, how about yourself?
Yeah, I think my last thoughts are that we all lead. It's just how well we lead. And I think we do have, every single one of us have a responsibility to learn about ourselves and about others, no matter what generation that we're from. And at the end of the day, we're all here to work. Impact the world and the footprint we leave behind. And again, my name is Veronica Taylor. I am with Life Leaders Coaching. You could go to my website, which is www.lifeleaderscoaching.com. And my email is info@lifeleaders.com. for having me, and I hope that our listeners got some great information out of this conversation today.
Yes, and thank you for that, too. It was great having you join us on the West Coast. It was nice having that little added feature today. And, you know, last little nugget I think I'll, you know, just talk about is, you know, I think just some of the points that we all brought up is I think leadership just absolutely starts with yourself. Because if you don't lead yourself, if you're not able to take care of what you have to take care of, you're never going to be able to lead someone else. And I think it's real, real important to make sure we're checking in with ourselves, we're looking at where we are, what we're looking for, what we're wanting to do, and have a real clear sense of that first. And then I think natural leadership sort of can come from that. So I think that's just the little piece that I'll leave there. And I can be reached, again, I'm Mandy Rosniak, and my coaching business is Inner Winning Coaching, and I can be reached in a couple of different ways. I have a Facebook page, which is Inner Winning Coaching. You can also follow me on Twitter at Life Coach Mandy. My email address is mandy@coachmandy, and my website is coachmandy.com. I often joke that maybe one of these days the coach bags, they're going to contact me because there actually is a bag out there called Coach Mandy. So, you know, I'm waiting for them someday to contact me to get that name back. Again, you know, I'd like to thank everyone for joining us. Before we end today, I'd like to let you know about some of our upcoming shows. Tomorrow, Saturday, June 22nd at 8 p.m., we have a show called Me Optimized with style coach Tiffany Dixon. She is going to be talking about the 11 style killers. Sounds like a really interesting show. And again, that's tomorrow night, Saturday, June 22nd at 8 p.m. with Coach Tiffany Dixon. Then on Sunday, June 23rd at noon, we have another Life Coach Chat, which will be a Super Soul Sunday show, which will have coaches Shiv Paul, Mike Giassi, and again, Veronica Taylor will be joining you. So she'll be joining you again on Sunday at noon. That's East Coast time at noon on Life Coach Chat, Super Soul Sunday. And on Monday night, June 24th at 10 p.m., will be Frank Talk, and his topic will be mindfulness. The revolution will not be televised. And so it sounds like we've got some great shows coming up here on Life Coach Radio Network. And I know things are going real great with the network here and going to be looking to possibly expand in the future. So we thank everyone for listening to us today. And we hope we were able to give you some insights and some nuggets out there in regards to leadership and hoping that we're able to give some information that people can go out there and use. So, again, the show will be recorded, so any of the information of how to reach any of us will be available through that recording. And want to thank you guys again, Barbara and Veronica, for joining us today and being on the panel. And thank you to all our listeners. And have everyone have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Goodbye, everyone.